We're on page 2 of the handouts. If anybody needs page 2, let me know. And we're going to go back to number 4.
You got page 1?
I'll take that too.
Let's see if I have 1 and 2. Page 1.
I'll have 1 as well.
This is lesson 1. Lesson 1. You need a page 1. Okay, there's 1. On the top. That's lesson 1. Here it is. Okay. Oh, page 2, right? 2, 2.
3, 2.
3, 2.
I know, really.
Mary, you need a page 2? There we go. Okay.
I got Mary.
Okay, here we go. We're going to back up a little bit here, and we're going to go to get us into this. We're going to go to number 4. It says, I'm going to remind you again, all the the names of the Holy Ghost I put in bold. You might want to take note of that. And why is it important that we know the names of God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why is that important?
They each have a different unique attribute.
Each name gives them a different attribute. So what's the application of that for us?
Well, they work in different ways, even in our lives, because
right.
Each one, you know, the Holy Spirit is with us forever.
Right.
We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is our advocate, mediator, and God is our, you know, they're really one in the same, actually.
Right. That's true. There's another reason. Look at 3, and look at 1, and 2, and 3, and 4. Look at the 4 on this page. The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge. What comes to mind when you hear those names? Let's think about it. What could you use those names with?
Attributes of God, right?
No, those are the names of God.
Oh, the names of God.
Prayer, exactly. Yeah. Woo! All right, see? Spirit of grace. When you're praying for grace for yourself or for other people, call on the Spirit of grace. Oh, Spirit of grace, call upon you in the name of Christ. You know, this person is in terrible need, and you know what the need is. And Lord, it's the need of grace, something we all need, Lord. And we want to thank you for that, for the Spirit of grace that you put into our heart, that you put into our day, that you put into our life as born-again Christians. We thank you, Spirit of grace, for the way you lead us in the way. Anybody see? That's how you use the names. In other words, you call. If somebody says, if somebody wanted wink, they wouldn't say oil man. Or they could.
You might get the wrong guy.
That's another name. But that's another name that wink has. Oil man, right?
Yeah.
Pam's husband. That's all names, right?
Some people would say idiot.
So what I'm saying is that when you pray, knowing the names of God are important because it enhances the way, it's not so much it enhances anything that you're doing to him, but it gives you a better sense of who you're praying to. You know the reason why many religions have idols that have faces? So people can look and they can concentrate on something, they can see something. It's not about, and of course it's wrong, but we have names. And we can use those names. And when you think of the Spirit of grace, you think of the Holy Spirit. When you think of the Spirit of might, and you think about how something had happened in your life that was just wonderful, and you knew it was by His might that it happened. Or when you're praying for the strength of God, Lord, I pray for the Spirit of might. You, Holy Spirit, be my strength. So when you have the names of God, and it's not just Him, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Jehovah, I'm trying to think of what the names now.
El Shaddai,
right? What is that?
Is that
powerful?
The all-powerful, right? So in other words, when you pray, if you use the names of God, it just gives you a better understanding of who you're praying for, not to mention it glorifies them because you're using their names. Imagine somebody going up to Vinny and saying, hey, you with the glasses and the pink shirt. It's a general term, but when you do that, it's a reverence. In other words, we're called to be priests. We're called to be ambassadors. We've been elevated to a certain spiritual position. And in that elevated spiritual position, we are to walk worthy of our calling. And part of that is knowing the names of God and using those names in our prayers and even teaching them to other people. And even if you learn one a month, it's something that you'll use. It's something you will use all the time. And a lot of people, they blow that off, and they use God as a general term. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we had a visitor. One of my friends was coming here, John. I'm sure you remember here. And he was so... It took him a couple days to figure out how you use Jehovah in a sermon, and that we weren't Jehovah's Witnesses. He didn't understand how that could be possible. And then I, through a bunch of studying, he found it in the Bible, and it changed his view of that name. So it doesn't matter.
It does matter. And it matters not just in your prayers, but it matters in everything. And especially when you're praying. You know, I got to tell you something. You know, heartfelt prayer is the only prayer that really is acceptable to God. People who just sit there and give rote prayers. You know, I believe that the Father in heaven just, you know, he hears them, but, you know, he's like, when are you going to get the memo? You know, I have a name. Where's the tears? Why don't you send those things up, those prayers up, those requests up? Why don't you send them up with water them? Send them to me. Water them. And the other thing I tell people about prayer, since we're on the subject of it, is take all of your physical temporary needs and convert them to spiritual needs. You need to convert them to spiritual needs. And the reason is this: when somebody is sick. You know, our first tendency is, oh Lord, we pray you give them a measure of healing, or you heal them, Father. We thank you for that. We're asking for it in advance. Far better to say, and far more accurate to say, Lord, would you give them the strength to deal with the affliction that they have the opportunity to serve you with? Would you help them to get through this instead of the healing? Because you don't know if healing is in store for them or not. You don't know. So when you do it that way, you're really praying in the right direction. You're not saying, God, take a left, now take a right, take another left. You're not doing that. You're just asking for spiritual things. When you pray, you read some of the prayers that Paul asked for. You never hear Paul say, could I get 36 whips with that cat of nine tails instead of 39 or with the rods? Could you beat me only a couple more times, Lord? Would you have them do that? You never hear him ask for anything that's physical. It's all spiritual. Because here's why. Every physical thing in this world has a spiritual connection. Yeah, it's connected.
He would pray for a door to be open.
Exactly.
Always aim towards the
spirit.
Yeah.
Always aim for the spirit. And you know, when you're praying for other people, exactly the same thing. You know, Lord, we have unsaved loved ones, Lord, and how it breaks our hearts that because we know the ultimate outcome if you don't call them before they pass from this life to the next life. So we pray, Lord, it would please you just to have the shadow of salvation pass over their house, but only if it pleases you. It's not saying, Lord, save them. Oh, God, please save them. I love them. I don't want to lose them. It's not. We have to understand that when we pray to God, this is not just, it's sort of like going into the Queen of England and just throwing open the doors, walking in and say, hey, Queenie, how you doing? Right? We don't do that. We approach a reverent God. Remember who he was in the Old Testament? Remember in the Old Testament that he was behind a very thick veil and only once a year people could get in there? There was a reason, because he's that holy. He's that righteous. And we're so far from him. So I can't even mention it. So we need to practice this, because that's what increases our blessings. When he sees that we really recognize who he is, and we try to glorify him as best we can as who he is by using his name, by converting physical needs into spiritual needs. When he sees that, he has to be pleased with it, because that's the examples the Bible gives us. That's the example. Except for one that I thought, well, even that. I cannot get over the fact that Paul prayed for Alexander's accomplishment, and he said, Lord, reward him according to his works. And that was quite a, that's the only place in Scripture, in the New Testament anyway, where we see somebody really praying against somebody. He wasn't doing it like, get him.
He has done me much harm. Yeah.
He prefaces it, right? Yeah. So when we pray, we just need to understand these few little basic principles, and they're not hard to remember. There's in most Bibles, you can go in the back of the book and you can find the names of God. There's a thing over here on the wall that lists off. Yeah.
You know what I do? This is fantastic. These little pamphlets.
Oh yeah.
Pastor, I have one that has just the names of God and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So I think I'll order enough for the class.
Yeah, order one for everybody, and
these
then
are
you
fantastic.
Guys.
This just shows the fruit of the Spirit. This is just one example. Look at this.
Wow. These are fantastic.
These are beautiful.
So what you do though is when you have them, don't put them somewhere and let them gather.
I always keep it in my Bible.
Pick a name. Use it once a week. And or use it for a whole week. Then pick another name for another week. And if you do that, you're going to find your prayer life's going to pick up. And I want to tell you something. A person that has a good prayer life, they have a good life. It's that simple. All right, let's look at our handout. Last time we left, the Spirit of Christ can be insulted. We're looking at the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at 10:29. We read that. And then we said, A, you can't insult or influence a force like a wind. We're showing you that the Holy Spirit isn't like some conceive him to be, an influence or a unseen force, that he is an actual person. And then new material, the Holy Spirit, and you won't forget to do that, right, Pam?
I wrote it down on my pad to order that for each one.
Okay. Order a few extra, too.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit can interact with men. Number one, the Spirit of the Son. This is the Spirit of the Son. It speaks in 1 Timothy 41. 4:1.
Chapter 41.
Chapter 41.
It's a long epistle.
Longest one, if it was 41.
Where are we on this page, Joe?
That must be
41.
It's down at the bottom, number one.
The Spirit of the Son?
Yes. Speaks.
Okay, 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy, 4:1.
Subtitle the author.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons.
Okay. Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7, Benny. You're up.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
I want to ask you a question. In this verse, he says, hear what the Spirit saith. What color is those letters in your work, in your Bible? Red, right? So
if you have a red letter edition.
If you have a red letter edition, I assume.
Mine are black. I've got it highlighted in yellow.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so he's also known as the spirit of the Son. Number two, the Spirit of Might teaches. Luke 12:12. Andrew.
Luke 12:12. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Okay. This is all the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of Might, the Spirit of God, Spirit. These are all names of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And here we're reading that the Spirit of Might will teach you all things. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Let's just stop there for a minute. Look at verse 11. Read verse 11. Chapter 12 of Luke, verse 11.
And when they bring unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and unto powers, taking no thought how or what you shall answer or what you shall say.
Now read it.
For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Okay, so what's an application we can use for this with the Holy Spirit?
I can tell you one that years ago when I was... We used to go out and visit, you know, do door-to-door visitation and stuff, and I would arm a pamphlet for Mormons in this, Catholics in this pocket, Jehovah's Witnesses in this one, and I'd come across somebody that I wasn't equipped for, at least with stuff in my pocket, and I would think, oh, boy, you know, I'm not ready for this, but the Lord always gave me an answer to one of these guys, and it taught me. And it happened so often that I said, I'm not armed up, I'm armed already. You know, I have the spirit, you know, so that was...
So
the application is that, you know, he's telling you, don't worry. I was planning on, you know, I was going to go here or there. I might run into one of these or that, and I'm going to be able to hand him something.
So he taught you a lesson, maybe.
Yeah, he taught me a lesson because whatever I ran into, I wasn't ready for.
Well, how about somebody else?
I was thinking it really shows how unique the Spirit is to the believers, differently than the world has access to their own. That whole mercy and grace conversation we were having, the Spirit gives discernment and wisdom to the believer differently than the world has.
Absolutely. They don't have that. What else? Somebody else?
Well, when you anticipate having a conversation with somebody on a given day that you may, you start planning. It happened for me. I plan in my head what I'm going to say if this person asks me that, or if that person asks me this or that. So I would spend maybe a day or two preparing what questions might be answered, all for naught, because those questions weren't asked, and when the different questions were asked, I had the answer. Yeah. I didn't have to be anxious.
Different applications, same thing that I had.
In the case of from time to time when you're persecuted, the Holy Spirit gives you the direction how to answer your persecutors.
You know, it's really funny because when that happens to me, I tell you this, it's happened, some of you saw that with the newspaper thing. The Holy Spirit, all he tells me to do is don't say a word. You see, what we don't understand as well as we should is that God fights for us. He literally fights for us. Right now, there are angels holding back forces from this session right here. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that outside, if we were like Elisha, we could actually have prayed and asked God to open our eyes. We would see that this place right now is clear of evil, because we're talking about something that's important to God, and this is like a feeding chamber. It's His feeding chamber, and He keeps it clean because, well, He doesn't help it. He uses me to make sure it stays clean, but then the evil influences that come in that are all around us all the time, they're outside. How do we know? How do we know that's true?
Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world.
That's true, but there's another reason. I'm just big on application, because feel your heart right now. Look at how you commune with each other right now. There's no dissension. There's peace. Yeah. There's joy. There's all the things that are not when you're in the world. Mm-hmm. When you're out there. You don't have what you have here. That's why if something's going wrong in your life, this is the place you want to be. Run to the church. Run to brothers and sisters, because God will put up a hedge of protection around you when you're together like that. The prayer of a righteous man is effective. And when you have groups like this, we may not all be righteous, but there's some righteous amongst us, and those are the ones that God is protecting, and we're with them. We get part of that protection as well. When Elisha opened up the eyes of his servant, and they saw that the hills were filled with flaming chariots and God's angels, legions of them, right? When he saw that, the protection didn't extend to just Elijah, it extended to him as well. That's why a church is the place you want to be if you're running into a lot of trouble. I'm telling you. And if you don't believe that, you suffer on your own and you stay by yourself and you don't contact the pastor or brothers or sisters for a little comfort, you don't do that, it's on you. You know, God, nowhere in the Bible does God say, I'm going to give you my spirit, my son, my word, and you know what? Why don't you just take a break, and I'll just telecute it right into your brain, because I'm God. I can do all things. You know, you guys don't even have to worry. He doesn't say that. Not in my translation or all the Bibles I have. I've never read that. The Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, had to get out of their tents every single day and collect these little snowflake size pieces of bread, manna, that they could eat, and they could only collect enough for one day. And the message there is this: you gotta get out, you gotta work. And that includes spiritually. You have to work spiritually. You have to work on your faith, you have to work on your joy, you have to work on your knowledge. This is a full-time job. That's why there's no time off. That's why you're always fighting. And the more this stuff you take in, you know, I got to tell you, the battle for me in the last 5 years has went from swinging to the point of exhaustion to now selectively swinging, because when I see the head pop up of sin in my life or somebody else's, and I see those two little beady eyes, I don't even wait for the neck. I take them off right at the jawbone, and they're gone. And that makes my life personally and as a pastor much, much easier. And it's because I am loading up on all this stuff I teach you guys and I preach to you. Guess who else is getting a little taste of it? Me. You got to remember, right?
You got to study for it. For
yeah. And we do that by keeping these few points in mind. So we see that the spirit of might, we looked about, about the word. So, go ahead.
I just wanted to answer that question, Sandra, because Andy, when you said that, where it says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you the same article you ought to say, the first thing that came to my mind is, shut up, stupid, and obey me. Basically, he said, that's what he's saying to me. Don't defend myself, obey the Lord, wait for him to give you the answers.
Right, that's what it means. And you know why he said that to you, Ron? Because your tendency before you understood that passage was to just open your mouth.
Always.
So that's why he may not have said that to David, because that may not be David's propensity, but it's your propensity, it's my propensity, and that's why with me, silence is best.
I learned that from you with that issue back a few years ago, and that lady printed that article in the paper. I had one all set with just...
The devil would have loved it.
Yeah. The devil would have loved it. You said, don't send it. You read it and said, don't send it. Yep. Let the Lord take care of it.
And I said, boy.
Yes. A soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up anger, right? Okay, let's look at the next one.
I really got a fire going.
The next one. 14:26. What is it?
John
14:26. David, go ahead and take us at your brother. Wait, let me get there. John 14:26. Take it away, Dave.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you.
Okay. Now, who is he? Who is he talking to here? Who is Jesus talking to?
His disciples.
Right? He's talking to his disciples, right? Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, how is it, Lord? No, maybe not. Thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come abroad. He that loveth not, keepeth not my sayings. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He's with his disciples, right? And he says, the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So what's that passage talking about when it says he will bring all things
to your remembrance?
Yeah, he says whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the verse that really is a proof verse that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, not man. He used men, but that is the verse that says, the Spirit of God will bring to remembrance the things I have said to you. So when people say the Bible is written by men, I always like to say, no, I thought it was written by monkeys. And they'd say, monkeys? Yeah. I mean, who else would write the Bible but a man? I mean, a monkey couldn't do it, right? Who could do it? Just a man. But see, this verse says that man wrote it, but it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So although he was the vessel, it was the mind of God that was revealed, not the mind of man.
So, yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16?
Yes.
Yeah.
All scripture.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, let's look at that. The Spirit of God is another one. Commands and exercises authority. These are all how the Holy Spirit interacts with man. Acts 13:2. Shana. Acts 13:2.
While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
I want to just say something. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work wherein I have called them unto. What can we glean from that passage? What application can we glean from that passage? Andrew.
Well, they didn't listen.
We read a little further and they didn't listen, right? But what's the positive upbeat thing that we can learn?
Well, they're being instructed.
They're being instructed?
They don't have to think on their own plans.
So what's the application to us?
To listen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Be still and listen.
Yep. The application to us is he gives you the work to do. The work you want to do may not be his work. Probably is not his work. You wait for him. He'll guide you. He'll open up the doors. He'll close the doors. I don't know how many Christians I've seen go out and think that they're almost Catholic in their synergism for work. Saying, me and you, Lord, we're going to do it. And they're the one to lead. Come on, God. Wait. You follow me. Hi, Lord. Come on. Get on one of those chariots and get over here, right? That's not the way the Bible talks about good works. The Bible says in this verse, the Holy Spirit gave them the work to do. That we can infer that the same thing applies to us. Wink has work that he does. Pam has work that she does. Vinny has work that he does. All of us here have a certain job that we do, and the Holy Spirit opens up doors and closes doors. Now some may be a pastor, some may be a head usher, some may be a writer, whatever it is, God in our own little world and in our life, he has a plan, and all the work he wants us to do is already laid out. You don't have to go find any work to do. God will give it to you. All you have to do, this is what you have to do. You have to show up. You have to be at church. Reason. We come to church. What do we come to church for?
To worship God.
To worship God. What else?
Learn.
Okay. What else?
Fellowship. We're missing the big one. Whatever.
The big one. It should be number one.
Edification.
That's true. But the first one should be, we're here to find a need. Everybody wants to go out in the world and work and find needs. There's needs within the family of God. In the church itself, there's needs. And that's where we should look. That's where we should be. God puts people in places at exactly the right time. He opens doors. He has a plan for Carolyn's life. He has a plan for Meredith's life and for Wendy's life and for this life. And everybody's got a plan. And the work schedule's already been written. All you have to do is show up. I like that. Amen, little brother. Amen. Everybody get it? That's what that passage is telling us. Yes, the Holy Spirit has authority to command, and he commands in each and every one of our lives, and we're not even aware of it. Simple things. It may be a word that you have to give. How many times in the Bible do you hear of the man Ananias who prayed that the scales would fall off Paul's eyes? How many times do you hear him mentioned after he did that job?
Not anymore.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
How many times do you hear anything about Jonah after he did his job? They all had jobs.
They were all busy, but there's a special focus. There.
And the reason this focus is special is because they showed up. When I say show up, you have to show up every day in your faith. If you don't show up in your faith and your joy, God is going to pass you over. He's not going to use you. Well, there's another day that I'm out of work, you know, and there's no social services in heaven. There's no food stamps in heaven. There's none of that stuff. You're supposed to show up. And if you don't show up long enough, if you don't show up, if you don't do that often enough, then what's going to end up happening is you're going to meet God's chastening hand, because we're called to do that. We're called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
You can't even get Christians or get the word today, evangelicals. They're just not in it. We know one lady that's been saved for years, and you know, nobody cared about her. And
I would suggest this.
And she says to Pam, we were talking about it one time. You know, how often Pam's telling her about something. She, you know, the Bible isn't one of them. Oh, why? And she said, well, you know, I don't read it like I should. You know, I'm in church every week. You know, and she says, but I do try to get a proverb or a psalm. And you know,
I would suggest to you that if I was in your shoes, I would reconsider my view of their salvation. Because there's no fruit. If you do not have an active interest in God, an active interest means that you show up. An active interest means that you have an interest in reading his Bible. You get excited about miracles. You get excited about being around his people. You get excited about worshiping. If that's not what's floating your boat, then you're in the wrong marina. You're in the wrong marina, right? And it's because of that. Because, dry dock, that's true. Then you're in dry dock, and you're either a castaway, or you just ain't part of the A-team. It's really that simple, right? And honestly, Wayne, what you said is true about the evangelical church. But here, I'm only interested in what's around this table.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just...
Because everybody here, though, everybody here makes efforts. That's how I discern it. They make efforts. I know sometimes it's very difficult for Carolyn to get in here on time, and she doesn't. I know it's very difficult sometimes for Ron, okay, to do certain things, but he doesn't. And it's because they have an active interest in God, because they love God enough that they're willing to do that. They're willing to make him the centerpiece of their life. And people that do that, those are the people that God blesses. Those are the people that he uses.
There's a good verse to support that.
Okay, let's hear the verse.
2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know it anyways. I'll let you get there, because this is...
2 Corinthians 5:17.
5:17, because that tells us a lot. We just don't believe it. We say we do, we know the words and all that, but I'll tell you, we have, there are a lot of people that are in evangelical camps. In the evangelical camp, because I've been around many churches, this is not true of them. It says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And that's all true, man. You cannot have had an encounter with a God of the universe and not change.
You can't.
You just can't. Impossible. I mean, it's like...
And the change has to be permanent.
Yeah.
There's only permanent Christ in heaven. Yeah. There's no.
The parable of the sower shows you that.
Exactly.
I mean, there's four groups there, and one of them, the fruit takes. All kinds of activity in the other, you know. But
all right, we're going to stop there. But let's go to Acts 16:6, and we'll finish with that. Acts 16:6.
You skipped 13 too.
I did?
No, we just did. I guess I was sleeping.
16:6. Who did we read? You read yet? Okay, Jude's going to read 16:6.
It passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia.
I'm not going to let that go. We're going to hit that next week.
Speaking Dolphin. It's a second language.
Yes, that's right.
Highly
intelligent.
Yeah, we're going to hit that one. What is that?
Six and seven.
Oh, he loves it. Look at this kid. All right. Also, those that are going to be up at the pastor's office praying, please be there punctually. And close us in prayer, young man. Next time.
Depart this study right now to go upstairs and worship. We think of the disciples and also those that weren't disciples, but they were in a crowd that was opposing Christ. And they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And we know, Lord, that when our belief originates with you, Lord, that gift of faith is set upon us, that we do become new creatures in Christ. And we're thankful for that. It's called an indescribable gift in the book of Hebrews. And we thank you for this gift. And we thank you for a pastor that holds our feet to the floor, Lord, and Lord, keeps resting, aiming us towards your word, Lord, for we know that's where the power is. And we just pray, Lord, you would be with him as he gives us the word. And Lord, be with us, help us to hear, and Lord, also to go out and do the things that we should be doing, which you will reveal to us, because we know obedience really is the only real, genuine display of what love, true love.
Amen.
In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Threw that on the grill last night.
You could almost taste it. the race.
I think it's probably going to be in the fridge, which is okay. It won't be as good as last night's, but it'll be pretty close to it.
I don't like it.
Tuesday, Thursday.
Oh, so we got Wednesday and Wednesday.
Yep, no reason.
Well, that makes it easier. We could go in the morning.
That would make it easier. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever works for you.
Okay. Well, let me see how that works. Maybe Wednesday or check it
out. Okay.
What's that?
Cool.
I do want to go this week.
Yeah, me too. You want to turn this thing on?
No, I was like, I used to that dog ready to take a nap.
PJ?
That's usually the thing.
PJ, about the fourth. Yeah, but they just...